Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, here's Payne and Pendergast. And Pendergast with today's headlines.
All right, let's get to headlines, baby. All right, the Texans, they play the Titans on Sunday. You can hear the game noon on Sports Radio 610 Sunday, 9 o'clock, Texans Countdown. Seth and I have you for that. CJ Stroud, what's your approach for this game on Sunday?
Yeah, you know, just want to end the season the right way, you know, on a positive note. So, you know, got to be ready to play and go up to Tennessee. And, you know, that's a good defense up there. They have a lot of good players. So, you know, we got to be in our A game and, you know, try to end the season the right way.
There you go. CJ, I'll say this. Like, CJ, I watched his whole press conference on Wednesday. Yeah. He doesn't seem super amped for this game.
I'm not happy with this offense, man.
Let's go, Seth. This, Seth, we are light. We're light on headlines today. Go ahead.
I've had enough. I've reached the brink. I can't do it. I just can't. I don't know, man. It's been such a disappointment in so many regards offensively this entire season. And it's not CJ's fault that he has to get up and speak every week.
Yeah.
He's at a point where there's nothing he can say that hasn't already been said or anything else. But rolling into this game and treating it like it's a preseason game, I'm talking about D'Amico and everybody else. It's the 17th game, and you're going out there to what? Like to try to figure out how to play football? I mean, like, what are we even doing here? Yeah. It's absolutely insane. And the only thing in my mind that can really salvage any kind of dignity or respect for the offense is if CJ himself just goes on a heater and starts playing out of his brain and, like, manages to deal with the poor pass protection that he's been getting, the 100% complete lack of any kind of consistent run game. Like, any of that, if somehow CJ can overcome all of that. But no, they're going to roll him out for this meaningless football game so he can do what? Like, have some kind of chemistry? Or, like, something's going to click that way? The only thing that can actually get the offense going is if CJ is as healthy as possible and goes on some kind of freakish run in the playoffs where he's basically doing it all by himself. Because the rest of these guys, for the most part, this is a soft offense full of soft human beings, except for a couple of exceptions.
Are you?
And it just, that's what they are. Mm-hmm. There's no going out there for a quarter or two where you're going to get that right. This is what's going to happen. If Devondre Sweat and Jeffrey Simmons play the full game, they are going to bash the crap out of the Texans offensive linemen. There is nothing in my mind that thinks that Texans offensive line, who got so thoroughly manhandled by the Tennessee Titans defensive line, as long as the Titans all play, I don't know what this offensive line is going to do to not get manhandled again. If they prove me wrong, I will be so excited. Mm-hmm. But there's nothing that they've done since from week two of the season on that shows they have that in them.
No.
So I don't know why CJ is going to be out there, because this is not CJ's not soft. Joe Mixon's not soft. Nico Collins isn't soft. Yeah. Tank Dell's not soft, but he's also not out there. And probably a couple other guys that I'm missing. But the rest of it, this is a soft offense. And you're going out there and you're playing against a defense for the Titans. Yes, they're on a bad team, but that defensive line is exactly the type of football players I'd like to have on my football team. Mm-hmm. And they beat the crap out of the Texans last time.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I don't know what we're even doing here.
Yeah.
Like, CJ's got to get up and tell, like, okay, yeah, I'm going to go out there and we're going to have a plan. Okay, good luck. Good luck.
Yeah, you're not mad at CJ at that answer. You're mad he's being put in the situation where he has to answer the question that way, kind of, right?
I'm mad at the whole scenario.
The whole thing,
I'm just mad at the offense in general. Yeah. I've just had enough.
Yeah.
It's 2025. I've got new underwear. I've got a new diet plan, but I'm stuck with the same old offense.
Same old offense, yeah. But that, you know, but if they keep
that playing, offense doesn't deserve my new Hanes.
They don't. Hanes, huh? Old school.
That's what I got myself for Christmas.
Fruit of the loom.
I don't mess around. I just like underwear is underwear. I'm trying to get off of underwear altogether.
Really? Commando,
I'd like to start
huh?
freeballing it. Yeah, except the Houston climate makes that a bit tough, you know?
It gets a little swampy. Yeah, I would say so, too.
It's really the only thing I've looked forward to is a new underwear strategy for 2025.
Until the offense gets it going, you're damn right. Yeah. Now,
honestly, good luck with T'Vondre Sweat.
Yeah.
Good luck. Good luck. You're putting CJ Stroud out to face T'Vondre Sweat with three inept interior offensive linemen. You know, like, all right, if CJ gets injured by T'Vondre Sweat, felling himself on top of him, because that's what it's like. It's like a redwood being felled in the forest. I will flip the hell out. I'm going to break everything in my house. I'm going to freaking lose it.
And if that happens, it's on D'Amico Ryans, right? I mean, it's D'Amico's choice. This is his choice to do this. Yeah. So it's a ballsy choice, man. All right, well, let's hear from D'Amico. Let's go to the side of the ball that won't get you as angry, Seth. The defensive side of the ball. They get Azeez Alshire back in this game. Here's D'Amico Ryans on the return of Azeez Alshire.
Yeah, I want to see Azeez get back out there and play football. It's been 3 weeks since he's been able to get out there and play, so it's just a matter of getting back out, hitting guys, getting used to hitting the ground again, getting up, making sure everything, you know, is still, it takes reps, you know, and real live reps. When you missed as much, you know, the time that he's missed, you have to get that real live action, right? And that's what he needs, getting back till he's excited to get back out there and play for us, and we're excited to have him back. You know, we've really missed his leadership, missed his communication, you know, not only on the defensive side, but for our entire team. So I'm fired up to have him back for us.
Yeah, I got to shift gears here now and start thinking more positively. And because you know what makes me feel positive? Violence.
Yeah.
Legal, clean, good old American football violence. And at the very least, the Texans defense, even though they're you know, and I've said this all season, this isn't just based on the Ravens game or anything. They're just below being a genuinely really good defense.
Yeah.
Like, just below. And it's just a little of the flaws here and there, the blown coverages or mental errors or what have you. But they're very close. And Azeez Alshire makes a big difference. So headed in the playoffs I think Toa, I mean, he's been so much better this year, and he stepped in and he was a signal caller with Azeez out, and I think he did a great job and way better than I would have thought at the beginning of the season. But Azeez is just a guy that ties it all together because he's got so much experience, he's got such a high football IQ, and then you add in his actual playmaking ability that Azeez being back is going to be a sight for sore eyes.
Yeah, I'm excited. They get their full complement of linebackers for the first time all season. Like, Azeez has yet to take the field with Christian Harris. Christian Harris came back the first game of Azeez Alshire's suspension against the Dolphins.
Yeah, and I think, look, you go against, if they have to face the Ravens again. So if they have to face the Ravens again, having somebody like Azeez, God, please no. That team broke me, man. You remember before the Ravens game, my thought was, all right, you know what? If you want to make a playoff run, you got to probably go through the Ravens at some point. So I'd like to have the Ravens in the first round at home. That was what I felt like. up to 3 minutes before the Ravens game.
31-2 will change your mind quickly, I think.
Now I don't want to ever see them ever again.
No, I hope they get disbanded out of the league. I hope it's a 31-team league next year, and the Ravens all get abducted by aliens.
Yeah. Right, right, right.
It'll be
so
great.
But if they were to face the Ravens again, having somebody like Aziz, when you got to face that zone read game, that RPO game, a lot of that stuff that really puts the linebackers and defensive ends in a bind. And I would include in that the way the defensive tackles were getting just really crushed on whams and traps and everything in that game. I think having Aziz out there can kind of stem the tide quicker. He can make the on-field adjustments and know what's going on. Just all these little micro adjustments, it makes a big difference having somebody like him.
All right, college football yesterday afternoon, Sugar Bowl, Notre Dame beat Georgia 23-10. First time in 30 years Notre Dame's won a major bowl game.
Congratulations. Good job. I'll say good job, Sean.
Good job. Thanks.
I'm going to give you credit for the win.
I appreciate that. They're on to the Final Four, so it'll be Texas and Ohio State in the Cotton Bowl. That'll be next Friday, a week from today. 6 days from today on January the 9th in the Orange Bowl, it'll be Notre Dame against Penn State. Texas is a 6-point underdog to Ohio State. Notre Dame is a small favorite over Penn State in the semifinals.
Hey, let me ask you this, Sean.
Yeah.
Because, and I should have asked you this a long time ago. Obviously, Marcus Freeman's doing a hell of a job in the new college football environment. Used a few transfers to great effect last night and throughout the entire season.
No doubt.
But one thing we've wondered is if some of the more academically prestigious universities like Stanford or Notre Dame or what have you, like, because a lot of their student athletes also are really into it for the degree, and their parents probably really want them to get the degree.
Yeah.
Have they been able to retain more of their players than some of the other big schools?
I think Notre Dame has. I mean, they get guys going in the portal. There's still guys that want to play, but I think that when the portal became a thing and when NIL became a thing, that, you mean, you nailed it. I thought, like, okay, well, Notre Dame's going to have a little bit, like, just an incremental advantage, whereas, like, an SEC school might see 12 guys go into the portal. Maybe Notre Dame only sees 8 guys go into the portal because there are guys who do go there to, in part for the football and in part for the academics. They know that wherever they transfer, you know, unless they're going from Notre Dame to Stanford, like, it's not going to be as prestigious an academic place. So, yes.
You know, you and I both know somebody whose kid is at Texas and wasn't going to get a chance to play at Texas, but could have transferred, but ended up, I think, I don't want to speak out of turn. I think one of the reasons he ended up staying was because he just really wanted to graduate from Texas.
Yes.
You know, and get his degree there and maybe go to grad school there and everything. So there are still, if you're somebody that feels like the transfer portal is destroying all collegiate love and everything like that, there are still a lot of players out there who just do genuinely like being at the school they're at.
Yeah, it's one of those things, like so many of the things in college football, like, or even like in college basketball, like the one and dones, stuff like that. It's so much of it. They're huge storylines, but it only affects like 5% of the guys. You know, they're big stories, but you got 100 guys on a team, and you've got like, you know, 12 going into the transfer portal. You know, like most of the guys are sticking around and playing football. You know,
well, you know what the difference is though, because I'm thinking about some of these scenarios where, yeah, some of these kids really want to stay and get their degree there, but now we're in an environment where, oh no, the actual head football coach is like, I wish that kid would transfer.
Because it's not. We got 85 of these. Yeah,
the coaches aren't actually. Yeah, the whole, like, if all you want is a football team to be better, yeah, some of the collegiate loyalty is not actually what the coach wants. Everything sucks about this new football world.
So I love it. I think it's great. So we've got our Final Four. That'll be Thursday and Friday of next week. It's a Football Friday. We're going to talk Texans plenty here in the NFL at large. It's Week 18, so there are certain things to root for. We'll give you the rooting guide to the weekend a little later in the show. The gods have blessed us with another chance to clown the Indianapolis Colts.
Oh, my gosh.
The Colts and the Jets are in a competition right now to see who can have more tell-all stories made about how dysfunctional they are behind the scenes. We will have some phenomenal details on the team that is next in the standings behind the Texans in the AFC South next.